No piece of hardware exemplifies power projection quite like a U.S. aircraft carrier, but the fleet is aging, replacements cost more than $10 or $11 billion apiece, and they've got basic performance problems. But the big question might be this. In an age when nearly every country has access to missiles, are carriers even defensible? Joining me with more, Justin Bachman, aviation reporter at Bloomberg News. And you are postulating, Justin, first of all, good to have you on.
Thank you.
Is that carriers can be hit with missiles maybe so easily that they are not defensible and might possibly be obsolete?
That's right. The day is coming when that could be the case. And many in the Navy are saying that it's not just a new notion. This has been an idea that's been around for years, and the Navy and the Pentagon brass have studied this idea for years that, you know, missiles are increasing in their range and their technical proficiency in a way that you could see them creating a real problem for the aircraft carrier fleet.
I mean, aircraft carriers and all ships have been subject to damage from torpedoes for many years. And so really what I guess reflects the carrier is all the ships surrounding it would take the torpedoes maybe before the carrier. But a missile can just drop down from anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the submarine has been a long-term problem, but at the same time, technology has really dealt with that for the most part. We know in a lot of cases where submarines are due to a lot of the detection capability. What's different is that China is building these really long-range, very powerful missiles that can go 1,000 nautical miles, and it's not terribly difficult when you get, you know, the technology that they have, and the U.S. And Soviets and others have the same advanced technology. But to get these missiles exactly where you want them and can guide themselves to a certain extent, it really does change the game when you have such a large target as an aircraft carrier.
So a missile that can travel 1,000 miles could, in theory, hit something that's 700 feet, 900, I guess about 1,000 feet long.
1,000 feet. Sure. Yeah. And see, I think that's what's different, and that technology is getting better and is expected to be refined to the point that, you know, not only could an adversary, but, you know, the U.S. could do the same. It's just that we have aircraft carriers. Most nations have one, maybe two. You know, the aircraft carrier is really a uniquely American asset in terms of diplomacy and projecting American military and diplomatic power around the world. So this is kind of our issue in the sense of we have the most. So I think that's why the Navy is probably more worried about it than they let on.
And yet, isn't China also building carriers?
They are. China just last week put their carrier public display sort of at the port of Hong Kong. So, you know, they definitely see a future where, you know, they want to have that same capability. But at the same time, you know, if you're the U.S. Navy and you've operated for decades off these, you know, your carrier fleet is quite a bit more competent than the Chinese fleet at this point.
And maybe China isn't so much interested in taking on U.S. carriers. It's just having enough deterrence so that China can control what it sees now as the United States having control over large portions of the Pacific Rim.
Right. And what these missiles do is it keeps your fleet farther away from shore. So what happens is that your, you know, fighter jets that are on those fleets are not as capable as they once had been because you're so far offshore, because you're thinking about what kind of missiles are going to be deployed against them. So, you know, the advantage to China and other countries is that you could potentially keep the aircraft carrier and its, you know, its resulting fleet farther away from your coast, which, you know, greatly reduces the effectiveness of what can be done with it.
And you've also documented some of the ongoing problems with the Gerald Ford, the under-construction carrier that's late and over budget, and they're going to curtail some of the testing of it, possibly.
They might, yeah. They may not do the full shock trials where explosive devices are set off near the ship, at least on the first one. The Ford is the first major redesign of a carrier since the 1970s, so there's a lot of technology that's gone in there. For example, the jet launch system is an electromagnetic system now, no longer the steam-powered ones that have been used for many decades before. So there's a lot of new things that are being put into that type of design. And I think it's just, you know, they're going through the birthing pains of it. But it's been a problem, especially since they want to get into service as quickly as possible because the fleet is stretched. I mean, the deployments have gotten longer. People are away from home much longer than they used to be. And so the Navy is really pushing to get this thing into service.
But in updating the design and changing the systems on it, they're just doubling down on the same old strategy, really.
Yeah, the strategy has not changed in the sense that, you know, these are going to be around for the next 50 years. At least the current plan is that these ships are going to be a prime asset in the naval force structure. So, and not only that, they're going to be carrying a new generation of, there's a redesigned F-18 Super Hornet that's going to be on it, and there's the F-35C, the naval version of the Joint Strike Fighter. So you're going to have those two new planes that are coming on board the aircraft carriers as well.
We're speaking with Justin Bachman, an aviation reporter at Bloomberg News. Couldn't the carrier be adopted, or is the Navy thinking about this in what you have been able to observe of, say, getting rid of all the F-18s, et cetera, on there and putting drones on that can go much further, much higher, do different kinds of damage for much longer periods of time away?
Right, right. That is one idea that's been advanced, is to have a larger drone fleet, and you would have a drone fleet that really does all the different types of missions that a manned aircraft does, be it reconnaissance, be it attack, defense. You know, and the other idea that's out there is, do you need to have a ship that's 1,000 feet long and carry all these planes, or do you maybe need a smaller ship with smaller drone aircraft? Because then this, you lessen the target, for one thing, but you also have sort of a more nimble fleet because you don't have this huge, massive ship out there. So I think there are different ideas, but, you know, Congress and the Navy are both deeply, deeply wedded to the idea of the large aircraft carrier is a symbol of American military power. And, you know, that's not something that's going to go away easily.
And when you mention a ship, it's not just a ship. It's about 15 ships.
It is. It is. There's not just an aircraft carrier. There is a huge retinue of ships that are in the business of protecting it. There are ships that do a lot of electronic surveillance so that they know what's flying. They know what's under the water. So it's really an armada. You have an aircraft carrier, but it's really a battle group, because you're talking about, you know, anywhere from probably 7 to 12, 14 ships.
Now, the Russians have been buzzing some of the U.S. ships, and I don't think carriers, but destroyers. They've been buzzing nearby and other planes. To your knowledge, has the military postulated on what the response might be? Suppose the Chinese fired a missile from 1,000 miles away and deliberately dropped it a mile from a carrier. So it couldn't do damage, but
right,
they could send a signal.
It would definitely send a signal. I don't know that, you know, I've heard any responses about what would happen, but I'm pretty sure that you would see a response, and you might see that those carriers get even closer to China than they are now, because I think that, you know, the Trump administration is pretty forceful about, you know, projecting a certain America first policy. So I think there would be a response. It's kind of hard to say what it would be at this point.
Any other strategies? You mentioned drones. What about making them missile launching ships?
That's possible in the sense that there have been a lot of talk about new laser weapons and high-energy lasers and what those could do to any missiles that are, you know, coming toward the fleet. I think the Navy is very much interested in what, you know, laser weapons could do, and trying to get the energy to a point where it truly is a longer-range offensive weapon. I think before we see any talk about getting rid of aircraft carriers, we're going to see a lot more talk about how to fortify the defense so that if there is a missile, you're going to be able to shoot it down at a range that's, you know, not a threat, probably with some type of a missile device.
All right. I guess we'll have to see what the Navy comes up with in future years, but lots to think about. Justin Bachman is aviation reporter at Bloomberg News. Thanks so much.
Thank you.